Hey, future physicists. Ready to crush that AP Physics 1 exam?
We're here to help you do just that.
Today, we're taking a deep dive into some seriously important stuff. Two-dimensional motion and projectiles.
Oh, yeah, you know the stuff.
You sent over a whole mountain of materials about the exam.
And we're going to sift through it all.
And help you pull out the absolute essentials.
That's right. We're going to get to the heart of what you need to know.
You've definitely got your priorities straight choosing these topics.
For sure.
Not only are they fundamental to mechanics.
Right at the core.
But they also show up all over the exam.
All over the place.
Mastering them.
Huge step toward acing that test.
Plus, the exam really seems to emphasize understanding these concepts.
Yeah, not just memorizing a bunch of equations.
Right. It's all about applying that knowledge.
Absolutely. The AT Physics 1 exam wants to see that you can think like a physicist.
Oh, wow.
Analyze situations, reason your way through problems.
Oh, cool.
It's all about applying those core concepts from Unit 1 kinematics and Unit 2 forces and translational dynamics.
Okay, so let's dive right into the heart of two-dimensional motion.
Let's do it.
We've got to start with vectors.
You bet. Vectors are absolutely crucial here.
Why is that?
Because now we're dealing with motion that isn't just along a straight line.
Right, okay.
We need a way to represent both how fast something is moving, AD, and what direction.
So it's not just speed anymore.
Nope.
It's velocity.
There you go.
That combo of speed and direction.
Exactly. Think about a soccer ball being kicked.
Okay.
You need to know both how hard it was kicked
yeah.
and at what angle to predict where it's going to land.
Makes sense.
That's where vectors come in.
And to get a handle on those vectors, we break them down into components, right?
Yes.
Like separating out the horizontal and vertical parts of the motion.
You got it. That's the key to analyzing two-dimensional motion.
Really?
Think of it like this. We're taking a diagonal movement and figuring out how much of it is going sideways and how much is going up or down.
Ah, so it's like creating a little right triangle out of that diagonal movement.
Perfect analogy.
Wow, I love it.
And suddenly those handy tools from math class trigonometry and the Pythagorean theorem become our best friends in physics.
I never thought I'd see the day where those would be my best friends.
They're super useful.
Okay, I can see where this is going. So sine, cosine, tangent.
Hmm.
They're not just abstract math concepts anymore.
Yep.
They're actually helping us analyze real-world motion.
Exactly. For example, if you know the launch angle and the initial speed of that soccer ball,
good.
You can use sine and cosine to figure out how much of that speed is contributing to its horizontal motion
uh-huh.
and how much to its vertical motion.
That's pretty awesome. It's like unlocking a secret code to understand how things move.
It really is. And once you get comfortable with breaking down vectors,
yeah.
You're well on your way to tackling projectile motion.
Okay.
Which is where things get really interesting.
Okay, bring on the projectiles. I'm ready to launch into that.
All right, let's do it.
What are the key things our listener needs to know to dominate this part of the exam?
Well, first remember that projectile motion is just a special case of two-dimensional motion.
Okay.
Where the only force acting on the object is gravity.
So we're talking about things like baseballs flying through the air.
Yeah.
Basketballs being shot towards the hoop, or even those epic water balloon tosses.
Exactly. And since we're assuming no air resistance,
right.
at least for now,
okay.
the horizontal motion is beautifully simple.
Oh, really?
It stays constant.
Wait, really? So if a cannon fires a ball horizontally, it just keeps moving sideways at the same speed?
Yes.
The whole time it's in the air?
That's right. The only thing changing horizontally is the ball's position.
Oh, well, okay.
But its horizontal velocity stays the same throughout its flight.
Interesting.
This is a huge GE concept for the AP exam.
Got it.
They love to test your understanding of that constant horizontal velocity.
Whoa, okay, I can see how that could trip people up if they're not careful.
Yeah, it's definitely a key concept to grasp.
But what about vertically?
Ah, yes, vertically.
Gravity is definitely pulling things down, right?
Absolutely. Vertically, we've got that constant downward acceleration due to gravity,
yeah.
which is approximately 9.8 meters per second squared.
Wow.
This means the vertical velocity is constantly changing
uh-huh.
as the projectile goes up and then comes back down.
So it's like two separate motions happening at the same time.
Yes.
Constant velocity horizontally.
Right.
And constantly changing velocity vertically.
Exactly.
That's pretty mind-blowing when you think about it.
It is. And the beauty of it is that we can analyze these two motions independently.
Okay, so how do we actually use all this to solve problems and, you know, ace that AP Physics 1 exam?
Practice, practice, practice.
Course practice.
The more you work through examples,
yeah.
the better you'll get at recognizing the patterns
uh-huh.
and applying the concepts.
So let's jump into some problem-solving strategies.
Let's do it.
What are some common pitfalls that students should watch out for?
One of the biggest mistakes is forgetting to break down those initial velocities into horizontal and vertical components.
Oh, right. Like if a basketball player shoots the ball at an angle.
Exactly.
We need to figure out how much of that initial speed is going sideways and how much is going upward.
Exactly. Another common mistake is mixing up the horizontal and vertical motion.
Right.
Remember, they behave completely differently.
Okay.
Horizontally, it's all about constant velocity.
Right.
While vertically, we have that constant acceleration due to gravity.
And what about those tricky free response questions?
Oh, yeah, those can be tough.
How can our listener approach those with confidence?
Absolutely. First off, don't panic.
Okay, good advice.
They might look complex, but if you break them down step by step and apply the concepts we've been discussing, you'll be in great shape.
So organization and clear thinking are key, right?
Exactly. One tip is to always start by drawing a free body diagram.
Right, those diagrams that show all the forces acting on an object?
Yep.
They help us make sense of what's going on, right?
Absolutely. Free body diagrams are your secret weapon for applying Newton's second law.
Oh, cool.
Which is fundamental to so many physics problems.
Nice.
Remember, force equals mass times acceleration.
And that acceleration can be horizontal.
Yes.
Vertical or both, depending on what's happening in the problem.
You got it. Another tip for free response questions is to explain your reasoning clearly.
Got it.
Don't just write down equations and numbers.
Uh-huh.
Walk the graders through your thought process.
So it's like we're having a conversation with the graders.
Exactly.
Showing them that we understand the concepts.
Yes.
And how to apply them.
Remember, they're looking for evidence of your understanding.
Okay.
Not just a correct final answer.
Okay. I'm starting to feel more confident about those free response questions now.
That's great to hear. And don't forget, practice makes perfect.
Always good advice.
The more you work through different types of problems,
the
more comfortable you'll become with the concepts and the problem-solving strategies.
Got it. Practice is key.
Yes, it is.
Now, what about those tricky conceptual questions on the exam?
Oh, yeah. Those can be tough.
You know, the ones that really make you think beyond just plugging numbers into formulas?
Oh, yes. Those conceptual questions can be challenging.
Yeah.
But they're a fantastic way to test your true understanding of physics.
Okay.
They often require you to connect different ideas
and
think about the why behind the how.
I'm starting to see a theme here.
What's that?
It's all about connecting the dots and seeing the bigger picture in physics.
Exactly. For example, you might get a question that asks you to compare the trajectories of two projectiles.
Okay.
Launched with different initial conditions, or maybe to explain why a projectile launched at a 45-degree angle travels the farthest horizontally.
Those sound like tough questions.
Hmm.
How can our listener prepare for that kind of conceptual thinking?
One of the best ways is to focus on understanding the underlying principles and relationships.
Okay.
Not just memorizing formulas.
So it's back to that idea of thinking like a physicist, right? Yeah,
precisely. Try to visualize the scenarios, ask yourself why things happen the way they do, and connect the concepts to real-world examples.
Okay, so it's like training our brains to see the physics all around us.
Yes.
Not just on a test paper.
Exactly. And remember, the AP exam loves to test your understanding of those essential questions from units 1 and 2.
Right, those overarching questions that get at the heart of mechanics.
Yeah, exactly.
Things like, how can we analyze the motion of objects? Or, what are the fundamental laws that govern how forces affect motion?
You got it. Those essential questions provide a framework for thinking about physics concepts in a deeper way.
So if our listener can connect those essential questions to the specific topics of two-dimensional motion and projectile motion, they'll be in a great position to tackle those conceptual challenges on the exam.
Absolutely. It's all about making those connections and seeing the bigger picture.
This is all incredibly helpful. I'm feeling so much more prepared to tackle those conceptual questions now.
That's fantastic to hear. Remember, confidence is key.
Right.
And don't forget to have fun with it. Physics can be pretty awesome when you start to see how it explains the world around us.
Okay. I'm definitely feeling more excited about physics now. It's not just about equations and formulas. It's about understanding the universe.
Yeah.
And how things work.
Exactly. And that understanding can open up a world of possibilities.
Well, I think we've covered a ton of ground today. From vectors and components to projectile motion, problem-solving strategies, and conceptual thinking, We've explored the key ingredients for success on the AP Physics 1 exam.
We definitely have. And remember, the journey doesn't end here. Keep practicing, keep asking questions, and keep exploring the fascinating world of physics.
All right, I'm ready to take on the rest of this exam prep with renewed energy.
That's the spirit. You've got this.
So let's look at this first practice problem.
That's all right. Bring it on.
It says, a ball is thrown horizontally off a cliff with an initial speed of 10 meters per second.
Okay.
If the cliff is 50 meters high, how far from the base of the cliff will the ball land?
Interesting question.
Where do we even begin with something like this?
Great question. The first step with any projectile motion problem is to sketch out a diagram.
Okay.
Visualizing the situation helps a ton.
Okay, so I'm picturing a cliff, a ball being tossed horizontally, and it's going to follow that curved path until it hits the ground, right?
Exactly. Now remember that we can separate the motion into those horizontal and vertical components.
Right. So horizontally, it's moving at a constant 10 meters per second.
Yeah.
But vertically, it's starting from rest
and
accelerating downwards due to gravity.
You've got it. So the question is asking for the horizontal distance.
Right.
How far the ball travels horizontally before it hits the ground? What do we need to figure that out?
Well, we know the horizontal speed.
Right.
But to calculate distance, we need the time it's in the air. How do we get that?
The time in the air is determined entirely by the vertical motion.
Really?
It's how long it takes the ball to fall 50 meters.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So we can use one of those kinematic equations to solve for time.
Exactly.
Using the vertical information we have.
Exactly. We know the initial vertical velocity is zero.
Good.
The acceleration is 9.8 meters per second squared downwards, and the displacement is 50 meters downwards.
Okay, so plugging those values into one of the kinematic equations.
Yeah.
Flips through notes. Ah, this one looks promising.
Mm-hmm.
Displacement equals initial velocity times time plus 1/2 acceleration times time squared.
Perfect choice. You can rearrange that equation to solve for time.
Okay.
And then you've got the key to unlock the horizontal distance.
This is making more sense now. We solve for the time using the vertical motion.
Exactly.
And then we can plug that time into the horizontal equation.
Yeah.
Distance equals speed times time.
Right.
To find the answer.
You nailed it. That's the general strategy for a lot of these projectile motion problems.
So it all comes down to this strategy.
Find the time using the vertical motion, then use that time to unlock the horizontal motion.
So it's all about connecting those two seemingly separate worlds of motion.
Precisely. And speaking of connections, let's not forget those all-important free response questions.
Oh.
That really test your understanding.
Those can feel a bit intimidating, but I guess they're unavoidable on the AP exam.
They are.
Any tips for tackling those beasts?
Absolutely. First off, don't panic.
Okay.
They might look complex.
Right.
But if you break them down step by step and apply the concepts we've been discussing,
right,
you'll be in great shape.
So organization and clear thinking are key, right?
Exactly. One tip is to always start by drawing a free body diagram.
Right, those diagrams that show all the forces acting on an object.
Yep.
They help us make sense of what's going on, right?
Absolutely. Free body diagrams are your secret weapon for applying Newton's second law.
Oh, cool.
Which is fundamental to so many physics problems.
Nice.
Remember, force equals mass times acceleration.
And that acceleration can be horizontal, vertical, or both, depending on what's happening in the problem, right?
You got it. Another tip for free response questions is to explain your reasoning clearly.
Got it.
Don't just write down equations and numbers. Walk the graders through your thought process.
So it's like we're having a conversation with the graders.
Exactly.
Showing them that we understand the concepts.
Yes.
And how to apply them.
Remember, they're looking for evidence of your understanding, not just a correct final answer.
Okay. I'm starting to feel more confident about those free response questions now.
That's great to hear. And don't forget, practice makes perfect.
Always good advice.
The more you work through different types of problems,
the
more comfortable you'll become with the concepts and the problem-solving strategies.
Got it. Practice is key.
Yes, it is.
Now, what about those tricky conceptual questions on the exam?
Oh, yeah. Those can be tough.
You know the ones that really make you think beyond just plugging numbers into formulas?
Ah, yes. Those conceptual questions can be challenging.
Yeah.
But they're a fantastic way to test your true understanding of physics.
Okay.
They often require you to connect different ideas
and
think about the why behind the how.
I'm starting to see a theme here.
What's that?
It's all about connecting the dots and seeing the bigger picture in physics.
Exactly. For example, you might get a question that asks you to compare the trajectories of two projectiles.
Okay.
Launched with different initial conditions. Or maybe to explain why a projectile launched at a 45-degree angle travels the farthest horizontally.
Those sound like tough questions.
Yeah.
How can our listener prepare for that kind of conceptual thinking?
One of the best ways is to focus on understanding the underlying principles and relationships.
Okay.
Not just memorizing formulas.
So it's back to that idea of thinking like a physicist, right?
Precisely.
Mm.
Try to visualize the scenarios. Ask yourself why things happen the way they do.
Yeah.
And connect the concepts to real-world examples.
Okay, so it's like training our brains to see the physics all around us.
Yeah.
Not just on a test paper.
Exactly. And remember, the AP exam loves to test your understanding of those essential questions.
Okay.
From units 1 and 2.
Right. Those overarching questions that get at the heart of mechanics.
Yeah, exactly.
Things like, how can we analyze the motion of objects? Or what are the fundamental laws that govern how forces affect motion?
You got it. Those essential questions provide a framework for thinking about physics concepts in a deeper way.
So if our listener can connect those essential questions to the specific topics of two-dimensional motion and projectile motion,
yes,
they'll be in a great position to tackle those conceptual challenges on the exam.
Absolutely. It's all about making those connections and seeing the bigger picture.
This is all incredibly helpful. I'm feeling so much more prepared to tackle those conceptual questions now.
That's fantastic to hear. Remember, confidence is key.
Right.
And don't forget to have fun with it. Physics can be pretty awesome when you start to see how it explains the world around us.
Okay, I'm definitely feeling more excited about physics now.
Yeah.
It's not just about equations and formulas.
Yeah.
It's about understanding the universe and how things work.
Exactly. And that understanding can open up a world of possibilities.
Well, I think we've covered a ton of ground today. From vectors and components to projectile motion, problem-solving strategies, and conceptual thinking, we've explored the key ingredients for success on the AP Physics 1 exam.
We definitely have. And remember, the journey doesn't end here. Keep practicing, keep asking questions, and keep exploring the fascinating world of physics.
All right, I'm ready to take on the rest of this exam prep with renewed energy.
That's the spirit. You've got this.
So let's look at this first practice problem.
Okay.
It says, a ball is thrown horizontally off a cliff with an initial speed of 10 meters per second. If the cliff is 50 meters high, how far from the base of the cliff will the ball land? Where do we even begin with something like this?
Great question. The first step with any projectile motion problem is to sketch out a diagram. Visualizing the situation helps a ton.
Okay, so I'm picturing a cliff, a ball being tossed horizontally. And it's going to follow that curved path until it hits the ground, right?
Exactly. Now remember that we can separate the motion into those horizontal and vertical components.
Right. So horizontally, it's moving at a constant 10 meters per second.
Mm-hmm.
But vertically, it's starting from rest and accelerating downwards due to gravity.
You've got it. So the question is asking for the horizontal distance. How far the ball travels horizontally before it hits the ground? What do we need to figure that out?
Well, we know the horizontal speed, but to calculate distance, we need the time it's in the air. How do we get that?
The time in the air is determined entirely by the vertical motion. It's how long it takes the ball to fall 50 meters.
Ah, I see. So we can use one of those kinematic equations to solve for time using the vertical information we have.
Exactly. We know the initial vertical velocity is 0, the acceleration is 9.8 meters per second squared downwards, and the displacement is 50 meters downwards.
Okay, so plugging those values into one of the kinematic equations.
Mm-hmm.
Flips through notes. This one looks promising. Displacement equals initial velocity times time plus 1/2 acceleration times time squared.
Perfect choice. You can rearrange that equation to solve for time, and then you've got the key to unlock the horizontal distance.
This is making more sense now. We solve for the time using the vertical motion, and then we can plug that time into the horizontal equation. Distance equals speed times time to find the answer.
You nailed it. That's the general strategy for a lot of these projectile motion problems. Find the time using the vertical motion, then use that time to unlock the horizontal motion.
So it's all about connecting those two seemingly separate worlds of motion.
Precisely. And speaking of connections, let's not forget those all-important free response questions that really test your understanding.
Oh, right. Those can feel a bit intimidating, but I guess they're unavoidable on the AP exam. Any tips for tackling those beasts?
Absolutely. First off, don't panic. They might look complex, but if you break them down step by step and apply the concepts we've been discussing, you'll be in great shape.
So organization and clear thinking are key.
Right, exactly. One tip is to always start by drawing a free body diagram.
Right, those diagrams that show all the forces acting on an object, they help us make sense of what's going on, right?
Absolutely. Free body diagrams are your secret weapon for applying Newton's second law, which is fundamental to so many physics problems. Remember, force equals mass times acceleration.
And that acceleration can be horizontal, vertical, or both, depending on what's happening in the problem, right?
You got it. Another tip for free response questions is to explain your reasoning clearly. Don't just write down equations and numbers, walk the graders through your thought process.
So it's like we're having a conversation with the graders, showing them that we understand the concepts and how to apply them.
Exactly. Remember, they're looking for evidence of your understanding, not just a correct final answer.
Okay, I'm starting to feel more confident about those free response questions now.
That's great to hear. And don't forget, practice makes perfect. The more you work through different types of problems, the more comfortable you'll become with the concepts and the problem-solving strategies.
Got it. Practice is key. Now, what about those tricky conceptual questions on the exam? You know, the ones that really make you think beyond just plugging numbers into formulas.
Yes. Those conceptual questions can be challenging, but they're a fantastic way to test your true understanding of physics. They often require you to connect different ideas and think about the why behind the how.
I'm starting to see a theme here. It's all about connecting the dots and seeing the bigger picture in physics.
Exactly. For example, you might get a question that asks you to compare the trajectories of two projectiles launched with different initial conditions, or maybe to explain why a projectile launched at a 45-degree angle travels the farthest horizontally.
Those sound like tough questions. How can our listener prepare for that kind of conceptual thinking?
One of the best ways is to focus on understanding the underlying principles and relationships, not just memorizing formulas.
So it's back to that idea of thinking like a physicist, right?
Precisely. Try to visualize the scenarios, ask yourself why things happen the way they do, and connect the concepts to real-world examples.
Okay, so it's like training our brains to see the physics all around us, not just on a test paper.
Exactly. And remember, the AP exam loves to test your understanding of those essential questions from units 1 and 2.
Right, those overarching questions that get at the heart of mechanics. Things like, how can we analyze the motion of objects? Or what are the fundamental laws that govern how forces affect motion?
You got it. Those essential questions provide a framework for thinking about physics concepts in a deeper way.
So if our listener can connect those essential questions to the specific topics of two-dimensional motion and projectile motion, they'll be in a great position to tackle those conceptual challenges on the exam.
Absolutely. It's all about making those connections and seeing the bigger picture.
This is all incredibly helpful. I'm feeling so much more prepared to tackle those conceptual questions now.
That's fantastic to hear. Remember, confidence is key. And don't forget to have fun with it. Physics can be pretty awesome when you start to see how it explains the world around us.
Okay, I'm definitely feeling more excited about physics now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about equations and formulas. It's about understanding the universe and how things work.
Exactly. And that understanding can open up a world of possibilities.
Well, I think we've covered a ton of ground today. From vectors and components to projectile motion problem-solving strategies and conceptual thinking, we've explored the key ingredients for success on the AP Physics 1 exam.
We definitely have. And remember, the journey doesn't end here. Keep practicing, keep asking questions, and keep exploring the fascinating world of physics.
All right, I'm ready to take on the rest of this exam prep with renewed energy.
That's the spirit. You've got this.
All right, it's time for our signature lightning round recap.
Lightning round!
What are the absolute must-knows deaths for two-dimensional motion and projectiles on the AP Physics 1 exam?
Okay, here's the breakdown.
Okay, hit me with it.
First off, remember that vectors are our foundation.
Vectors, vectors, vectors.
We're not just dealing with speed anymore. Right. It's velocity.
Right.
Speed with a direction.
Velocity.
And to conquer those vectors,
yeah,
we break them down into horizontal and vertical components.
I see.
Using trigonometry and the Pythagorean theorem.
Ah, yes. Those trusty math tools come into the rescue.
They always come in handy.
And then we jumped into projectile motion.
Projectile motion.
Where the only force in charge is gravity.
That's right. Gravity runs the show here.
It's like a dance between constant horizontal velocity.
Yep.
and constantly changing vertical velocity due to that downward acceleration.
Exactly. And we talked about some key strategies for solving those projectile motion problems.
We did.
Like sketching diagrams,
right.
identifying knowns and unknowns, and choosing the right kinematic equations. Plus, we emphasize the importance of understanding the relationships.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Between horizontal and vertical motion.
Right. It's all connected. And we can't forget those free response questions.
Oh, no, those are important.
Where clear explanations and organized problem solving are key.
Absolutely.
Drawing free body diagrams.
Yeah.
And showing all our steps.
Yes.
Like we're having a conversation with the graders.
Exactly.
And for those conceptual questions that really make you think.
Those are fun.
It's all about mastering those essential questions from units 1 and 2.
Absolutely.
Connecting the fundamental laws of motion to the specific scenarios of two-dimensional motion and projectile motion.
So it's not just about memorizing formulas.
No.
It's about understanding the why behind the how.
Thinking like a physicist. Now, before we launch you into the exciting world of AP Physics 1.
Yes.
We have one final thought-provoking question for you to ponder.
Right. Let's hear it.
We've talked about neglecting air resistance.
Yeah, to simplify things.
But in the real world, how would air resistance affect that perfect parabolic path of a projectile?
That's a good one.
What factors might influence how much air resistance affects an object's motion?
So many things to think about.
Keep that curiosity burning. Remember, physics is all about exploration.
Yeah, get out there and explore.
Asking questions.
Ask all the questions.
And discovering the incredible laws that govern our universe.
That's an amazing universe out there.
So embrace the challenge. Dive into those practice problems.
Practice, practice, practice.
And never be afraid to ask why. You've got this.
Best of luck on your AP Physics 1 journey. We're confident you'll achieve amazing things.